Well, today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're continuing our series about what leaders lose sleep over. And we've got Kyle here today. So Kyle, as a CEO and president, so through those lens, at the end of the day, what really stays top of mind, or what are you still thinking about when you leave work?
Yeah, those are good questions, obviously. it'll really vary greatly, obviously, depending on, sure. on how the day goes, sides of it, because there's many things that will, roll up to me side of it. But, there's always first and foremost side on those. You're always looking for, from my seat side of those, the profitability and growth of the company side of those, which also leads to the well-being of all the staff mm-hmm. and employees and how we're protecting our customers and how we're servicing our customers. So, there could either be, service-related issues with the customer side of those on how do we improve, how do we prevent this from happening in the future. Those things are always continuously working through my mind side with it. There's then, similar thought tracks around how do we make it, a better work environment for our employees? How do we make sure we're retaining our employees? How do we, have the best compensation growth for our employees sides of those? And then, I'm beholden to shareholder sides of those. And how do I make sure that, I'm getting them a good return on their investment into the company side of those? Yeah. So you have a constant balancing act that you work through to make sure that you get everything firing the best of your ability sides on all cylinder sides of it. The other side that, we'll put you there is the unknowns, and a lot of that, again, relates to risk. And for us, since we provide, IT and cybersecurity related services and physical security services to our customer sides of those, there's always the concepts of liabilities and other sides that comes with it, not only from protecting CIT and our assets and our data and ensuring that, our access to our customers doesn't become a threat actor's access to our customers. And those can be, a number of things that may be out of our control. They could be from supply chain related things from vendors we use, so if Microsoft has an event, how does that impact our customers? There's a lot of things that, are out of our control, and there's a lot of things that are certainly in our control, and just try to make sure we're doing our due diligence and best effort sides along doing the due diligence on what we can control, because the other things you just can't. So unfortunately, many of them involve, you make sure you're talking to your lawyers and their sides on it. Yeah. But I don't like to dwell on those things. I think there's a lot more of the stuff to control around just doing, the best investment in the right tools and making sure that we're having the right procedures and policies and educating the staff on how to do those, how to properly follow those rules and those guidance and to advocate to follow them, because it cannot always be obvious that, it could be a what they view as a hindrance to their job, or something that's extra work, or it's just a lot more work to do it this way. I'd rather not do those things. And to get them to understand the reasons that these rules or regulations exist.
For sure.
Our SOC 2 type 2 compliance side falls under that a lot, where there's a lot of, you got to create a ticket, you got to document through the procedures, you got to follow through all the other steps, so we know, when we're making a systems change or how we're responding, all those things has to have a trail and an audit trail associated to it to provide the supporting documentation, and that we have to have the written procedures and that we follow those procedure sides. So again, as it sounds, not necessarily considered fun by most people going through those exercises, but I mean, certainly important. And I think most people kind of understand why that is, but it's there's just the human nature against the requirements of those sides. So you're having to be the champion and understand those things. So thinking through, how do I keep doing that? How do I keep people aware? And there's something that always stuck in my mind. Someone had, I think I heard on another podcast or other sides that there was a quote from Warren Buffett that basically says, of all the, hundreds of thousands of people we employ, he goes, I can guarantee you there's a high percent doing something that I don't want them to be doing at this very moment. And obviously we're not anything like Warren Buffett has. I don't have anything under that kind of control side of it. But even with 150 people, you kind of know, okay, somebody may be making a mistake, not intentionally, but in some way side of those. And how do we protect ourselves from those things and protect them and make sure that it's mitigated and identified and those things. So there's always that thought process of saying, how do I mitigate the risks as much as possible? And it's a constant mind game going through those things of continuously going through those.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, as at your level, being a CEO and a president of a company, you really need that 360 view. So, when I ask what stays on your mind at the end of the day, it is everything.
It's a
Everything kind
lot.
of has. Oh, I can't imagine. Do you ever feel like, and I imagine other, people at your level feel the same way. There's all these pieces you mentioned, making sure the employees are getting their best support and that work-life balance, and then making sure that your company has all of these pieces in place for any risks. And then also, how do we move forward? How do we grow as a company? Do you ever feel at your level that you're so far up that you can't make the changes that you want, if that question makes sense? Like,
Yeah.
you're too far removed from the SOC people or the specific employees. How can you make change at your level? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And the way that I deal with that sides of those is I do have a very tight leadership group side with those, and we meet on a weekly basis side of those as a group, and then we have very frequent one-on-ones with my direct report twos, and each one of them has regular frequent same page meetings with their team members sides of those too. It's having a lot of trust and faith in the leadership side of it to, one, me take their input side of there, we reach a consensus, and then we execute on those sides of those. So I think, to try to, with the whole intention side of that is to be, I can't be everywhere side of those, and it's not feasible side of those. So you want, there's a lot of faith in my leadership team that they are extension of the same thing, and we all believe in on the same goals and objective sides of those. So it's really kind of sharing in the leadership responsibility sides of those, because again, I'm not the sole driver of everything that's there side of those. It's kind of the keeper or aggregator of where it's going, and hopefully, and to steer the vision of where we want to go next. But that's not just from my own input. That's taking in the other outside inputs and coming to a conclusion to say this is the next best thing. And it's a combination of that and then, trying to get out and talk to our customers as much as possible, both customers and prospect sides of those, again, helps to, formulate some of the decision-making process side of it, so you can determine where the customer needs are coming from. Whether it's, good feedback or there's negative feedback on the way we're providing the services. And sometimes they just give you just good feedback that's just saying it'd be nice if you did this side with it. And then when when you have the great opportunity to deal with people who are currently not your customers, but you hope they will become those, is just hearing their needs being explained out to you. And sometimes you identify service gaps, saying, well, we could certainly do that. And then, you can kind of then feel those out, and those can be opportunities again for, again, new services and new offerings, because you're identifying a need that exists out there. So, again, it's just a lot of conversation sides, but I know I kind of steered the wrong way around
No,
to
you're
answer that
good.
question, but it was, it is a factor of kind of all those things to kind of help you feel like, yeah, I can't be everywhere, and I can't be afforded the opportunity to sit down, obviously, with everybody to kind of get the feel for it. But I do try to stay very connected. And the only last point I could say is since we are a technology company and I'm a very technology focused individual side of those, I do use our tools. I use the, I do monitor our team's channels. You know, I watch for the chats. I see the customer posts. I see the dispatch sides of those. I do pay attention to those because it does give me a good feel for the activities, the sides, you know, kind of the sides. It does afford me a nice luxury of being able to at least get a view into the day-to-day activity sides as they're happening in those teams. Which gives not the absolute feel, but it gives a general feel of at least what's going on. And then I can also ask some more, you know, more knowledge-based questions to those particular leader sides of those, saying, I noticed there's some chat on there. Are we okay here? And those kind of things. Yeah. So not to obviously step on their toes, but again, just to have a little more insight as to is there an issue here that that we need to discuss further, or am I, you know, taking that out of context, kind of thing. So,
My next question was going to be, how do business leaders stay proactive? And you kind of answered it already with being this open communication, up the chain and down the chain, and then being flexible, and then even mentioning your ability or willingness to step back into the trenches, you know, be available for all of those levels and all of those things, I think is really important. Did I miss anything about how to be proactive in your, you know, both mitigating risk and again, pushing your company forward or trying to grow it and being ready for new technology?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think one thing, since I come from a technical background side of those, again, I have a strong affinity to still want to, you know, engage into actual the solutions themselves. And in many cases, sides of those, I'm usually, you know, very active on whatever the, you know, if we look to onboard a new solution or teams, I'm very active on those sides of it, because one, I want to make sure that the perspective of a business leader is understood for the use case or needs, as it would then be, you know, applied out to our customers or would be customer sides of those, solution sides of those. So it kind of feel like I help to bring in the higher view of it, not just the task of the tool, but also from the use case deliverable of what is the outcome of why we're using this tool, you know. So I know sometimes that can be lost in the shuffle side of those, where you have the technical, you know, application, but the output is never delivered to the customer in a way that they can, you know, consume it or help them, you know, feel like it's meeting their direct needs. You know, sometimes it's like, well, we turned it on, it's actively working, but, you know, again, if it's not getting to the customer and the value proposition we wanted, then we're still missing part of the delivery of whatever that is. So that part helps me have an understanding for the selling and applications of it as well. So as you experience these tools, I want to understand. I'm a very more visual person. I like to visualize and see it. It gets my mind understanding the applications or use cases better for it. In many cases, you can identify new use cases or new value statements that we may be able to solve for that wasn't necessarily initially, you know, identified by the vendor or whoever was selling the tool to us, but maybe other possibilities or other selling ways to position the product so the customer understands the value of it, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, many security tools can be very technical, of course, and you go through those things. So getting it to the business use case of this helps you, this will help mitigate this risk for your business is the reason we do it. And that's what you're trying to drive for, is just get the simple use case application, not get into the, you know, the bells and whistles. We're always happy to do that for the technical administrations, customers we have, but in many cases, they're not technical. Yeah. They just want to reduce the risk. They don't want the problem.
So that kind of leads me, I thought about, you know, if you are a CEO, and you don't have this technical background like you do, you can't really navigate yourself through the weeds of all of the security tools. You know, how can a leader better support their company, their employees, their security department, make sure they're mitigating those risks when they don't have that knowledge that you're able to have?
Yeah, I think you want to have a trusted advisor in that team, somebody who is, and know that you trust them, and you should participate in those meetings and ask questions, sides of those, because I think having leadership engaged into risk mitigations and understanding technology as it's being used is lacking in many organizations. I think there's just not enough oversight. And in many cases, I find that, you know, it's a lot of time under finance. It's moved under finance side, and it's looked at from a financial side and the cost, which of course is good. You want to make sure that it aligns with the company's budgets and profitability lines with it. But there's another part to technology side of those that is operational side and its enhancement side. And then you get into the risks or the unknown sides on it. And I find that many of the cases that is not understood fully by the decision makers or leaders, you know, inside those organization sides of those. And it tends to go either underutilized, or it's, you know, there's assumptions made that are dangerous, that could be extremely risky to the business, that gets found out in very unfortunate events after the fact, where they go, well, I thought, you know, I mean, you don't want to have those moments. And those are tough situations when they occur. So, I mean, they can be circumvented by just being proactively part of those meetings and asking questions. And if you're not sure of the question, bring in a trusted advocate side of that. If you don't have somebody, I mean, you know, do a virtual CIO. Get somebody who can bridge the gap between the business and the technology side of those to help you align those so you make the best business decision sides of this investment helps me reduce my risk, which helps me do this. This investment helps me do with compliance or regulatory side, so I can service these X number of customers. This technology helps keep my users more productive side of those things. Well, you know, and aligning those and then driving that back to the financials. So you either, you know, adjust your operational expenses to meet the needs of what the business needs out of technology instead of trying to spend the least amount of possible on your technology and then be disappointed that it didn't execute. Because it's a very unfortunate, I think, in a lot of organizations that I think when we talk to the technology, the people that are administering the technology, other sides of those feel a pressure to a budgetary pressure. And, and they tend to gravitate again to saying, I'm saving the company money. When they don't necessarily realize the cost of the loss is greater than saving X amount of, you know, than saving 5% on the acquisition or CapEx on a product. If it's slow, if it underperforms, if the users can't work or it brings in risk and it takes weeks to recover instead of hours or days to recover. I mean, all these things have much bigger business decisions that need to be answered by the leadership, not by the person administering the technology. They're very good at deploying and they can support and go through those things, but conversations just don't happen and they don't feel comfortable having them because they feel like they're going to be viewed as not successful in the position if they ask for more money or they're asking for those. There's just this uncomfortable awkwardness that occurs, which is unfortunate because if nothing else, as long as they understand what they're saying no to in its full hierarchy, instead of it being made without even being asked, just by purely a cost basis, is an unfortunate thing. Just because I'm just an advocate that they should understand what they're saying no or yes to either way, and know that it aligns with what the business wants. There's just higher level decisions and conversations that should happen, that they should know how it impacts and what it truly means. The backup stuff comes to mind all the time. You hear many cases, unfortunately, you'd talk to a business leader side of those, anybody in the C-suite of those sides, say, well, we're told from our network administrator we have backups. Okay, well, that's not enough to know. I mean, again, in many cases, they assume that means like it's almost instantaneous. Like if because you have backups, that means you can recover almost instantaneously. I mean, that is so far from the truth in many cases, sides of those. Not that it's impossible, but many cases, that's not how they're currently set up. And if you then ask and say, well, how far back would you have to recover to? So what is that recovery point? And then how long does it take you to get there? And that's that recovery time. And you find out, okay, well, we can go back. It's going to be at least 24 hours old. And are probably going to take us to get all the servers and everything else recovered side, 2 weeks. Because it's going to take us aside, or even it's going to take you days, whatever it may be, just be aware and know. And if they say, because then the obvious question says, well, our business can't afford to be down that long. Maybe you can. You have other process. Can you do manual process? Can you do other? But at least understand it, so that conversation could happen. That's, that's, again, kind of go back to that's kind of stuff keeps me up at night, is just knowing sometimes it's not just, CIT STEM. It's for our customer sides. It's just the side saying, boy, I want to have these conversations with some other leaders just so they have them, just knowing that they have them and they're able to make the decision and not be excluded from it. So I would just say, inject yourself into those conversations. If you're a leader, ask and understand so you know what it is, and you may want to advocate that, maybe you do need to invest into a better product that aligns with the recovery or what you need for your business, or what helps you reduce your risk, what helps you, save on your cybersecurity, what helps you reach compliance so you can get the next bigger customer. All of these things should be talked about with your technology. But in many cases, I just don't think it gets rolled up, and there's just too many things go undiscussed all the way down. So
it can be, I imagine it can be hard, because if I'm sure Todd, who's been on here before, has said, you don't know what you don't know. It's how do you know what to ask if you have kind of no idea how these things work? Where do you even start?
Yeah, and I go back to having an advocate side, whether it's you have them on staff, or you get a virtual, a fractional, CIO or some of those things, or even in our side, we become a trusted partner side of that. We obviously offer advice side with it. And we understand in many cases side of it, we can be viewed, that this is a sales tactic and other sides of those, which is, unfortunate but understandable from those standpoints. So sometimes, it's appreciated to say, okay, as a consultant role side of that, maybe you engage into those level sides of it, just so there's a different level of engagement that doesn't involve a salesperson side per se, but to bring in more of a consultative engagement side of those to get through it. But just, in some points, so they're happening. But if you don't know, or you just have the question sides of it, you need to find, who's going to be that trusted individual to help educate you and help bring up suggestions and things to go, so you start to learn and you do understand it. Because I think that's your point is valid. At the end of the day, we just want you to have at least the high level understanding of how it maps and connects together from the technology you have in your business. Does it really meet what you believe it needs to do for your business, both for business continuation, or an incident response, or compliance, or regulatory sides, or just business growth and needs, and user productivity and other enhancement sides of it? It's it can be daunting, and it can certainly be to a non-technology based executive side of those to figure out where that is, what the questions are. Again, you don't want to just go to Google. It's going to be you're going to get a rabbit hole side of those, but you know, there's a lot of good resources and people out there that will have the conversations. We're happy to have those conversations and come in and do those things. It's for good reason. I think it just helps to make sure that the technology is truly driving it. And I view it as, you know, it doesn't have to be a sales process side. For me, I think I always viewed it as you do what's right and you do what the customer needs sides of it when the results speak for themselves and the results bring future business. So, you know, to me, the rewards of doing what's right produces what, you know, what is also mutually beneficial for us in the growth. I don't have to drive the initiative being all I want to do is sell you something, you know, because, again, I don't think that is the outcome. What we want is the outcome that the technology is helping the business and their business grow, because then they reinvest and they tend to want to, you know, they trust the technology, they want to do more with technology, which also then benefits us because we grow as a, you know, in partnership with the customer, not in spite of those things. So it's you know, that's I think that's just a good way to develop that relationship to make it make it all work.
Yeah, sometimes it comes down to working with partners who have the same values as you. And we're big on education. We're big on knowledge. We're big, you know, we have this podcast and our webinars because we just want everyone to have that knowledge as they move forward. And then it's easy to partner with people who have that same thought of mind, you know?
Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to share? Otherwise, this feels like a great wrapping up point. I mean, of course, communication, flexibility, and then reaching out to a tech partner if you need any assistance is kind of a good wrap up.
Yeah, no, I think you summed up really well. Again, I could obviously go on forever and I'll be way off topic, but I think, I think it covers it quite well.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.